This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa bihi nasta'in wa usalli wa usallim ala nabiyyina Muhammadin al-Amin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all his followers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us truly from amongst them and our offspring, inshallah. Ameen. Honored ulama, beloved brothers and sisters, dearest listeners, as you may have noticed, tonight we have completed half of this Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the reward of reading it and of listening to it, and may He grant us the full reward of listening to every single letter that is uttered. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also forgive us in this month of Ramadan, and may He really and truly make this month a turning point in our lives whereby we can head in the right direction from this day on. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our shortcomings in the past. May He grant us upliftment. I'm sure we've all heard the word وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ. And if you take a look at a lot of the Qur'ans, the masahif that we use, that word is highlighted and it is written in bold, depicting the center of the Qur'an when it comes to the wording of the Qur'an. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us. We are now sliding down, inshallah, from tomorrow. We've got right up to the top of the hill and now we shall be sliding down. That does not mean we need to become lazy, but inshallah we need to put in more effort in this month of Ramadan. Remember, the last 10 nights of Ramadan are even more blessed than the first 20 nights. And that is obviously for reasons known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not keep Laylatul Qadr in the first 10 nights or the second 10 nights, but He kept Laylatul Qadr, which is the night of decree. He kept it in the last 10 nights so that we can actually gear ourselves for these days and we can actually be on a spiritual high before the end of Ramadan, with the idea that we follow it through after the month, inshallah. The surah named after the journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, known as Suratul Isra. We all know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken by night from Makkah all the way to Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem he went up to the seven heavens on the famous journey that is known as Al-Isra'u wal-Mi'raj. And he definitely went up, not only by soul, but with his soul and his body. He went all the way up to the seven heavens, and he met the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, the other prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight I have chosen to go into some of the messages that lie within the surah. Firstly, I'd like to mention that this surah has 10 verses in it, which are one after the other, which are known as Al-Hikmah, the verses of wisdom. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them one after the other. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah has decreed and decided that you shall worship none other than Him, one single creator. And thereafter, you shall be good to your parents. This is the first point of wisdom. A person who is not good to his or her parents is very foolish. The reason is, Allah created myself and yourselves. And in order to bring us into this world, He chose for us parents. And that is why He is the creator. But the means He used, He wants you to respect that womb that gave birth to you. And He wants myself to respect the womb that gave birth to me. And everyone for that matter. And this is why every time He speaks of oneness, immediately after that, in many places of the Quran, He makes mention of your parents. Because ultimately, if we think just for a split second, we will realize that He created through this means. And none of us chose our parents. It was decided by Allah as a test. Some of us, our parents are very good. Some of us, our parents are a bad example. It's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ultimately, He chose that is your father, that is your mother. Fulfill their rights to the degree that even if they are not Muslim, it is your test. You are meant to be good to them. You are meant to really and truly serve them in everything that is permissible in this sharia and in the law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really and truly make us comprehend that our parents are actually, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verse that we should worship Him alone, He mentions our parents. So they are actually of great importance in Islam because Allah created us and He chose as a means for us to come into this world. No matter how intellectual we may feel we are today, there was a stage when we were in the wombs of our mothers. And had it not been for the mercy of Allah, had it not been for that very mother, we probably wouldn't even have been here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the respect of our parents. Allah says in these verses, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ. When they get to old age, or if you have seen them during old age, one of them or both of them, do not even say the word "uff" to them. Now, what we should understand from this is, that is the minimum. We should never ever even utter the word "uff," which means don't be lazy. If your mother tells you something, it becomes a command, unless it is against Allah's command. If your father tells you something, it becomes a command, unless it is against Allah's command. And you should not say "uff" in return. You should not say "uff." Now some people think, well, the Quran does not say that we are not allowed to beat up our parents. So now they roll up their sleeves and say, I won't say "uff" to you, but I'll beat you up. That is a very bad misunderstanding. The same applies to the prohibition of music in the Quran. There are verses which we read tonight, which also show the prohibition of music. But there is a verse in Surah Luqman, verse number 6, and I'm sure many of us have read it a few days ago when I mentioned it, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there are people who would buy music and musical instruments, and the women who would dance and sing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that is totally prohibited and haram. Now come to the English translation and open it. They translate it as vain talk. Well, that's okay. It does not qualify. English language does not qualify to translate the Arabic. But my question is, if vain talk is haram, is music not worse than that? In the same way today we said if "uff" is haram, is beating not worse than that? So if someone wants to say music is permissible, it is equivalent to saying beating your parents is permissible. Because when the Quran says not even say "uff," that means if anything is worse than that, it is prohibited to a greater degree. So if vain talk is prohibited, then obviously music, which is very, very vain, is definitely more and more prohibited. But for your information, the interpretation is not vain talk. Lahw al-hadith directly refers to music, and we will substantiate it with tonight's verses as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who can surrender and submit when the truth comes to us, and not from amongst those who want to stand up and try and justify just because we are listening to music. And just because there are a few problems in our own lives. Nay, if music was permissible, definitely every sahabi would have listened to it. And every sahabi, it would have been narrated to us in so many different narrations in Bukhari and Muslim and Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi and Nasa'i and Ibn Majah, that all the sahaba, or at least the vast majority of them, took part in it and actively engaged in it and so on. Why is that not there? Because obviously the warped understanding of a few cannot compete with the understanding of the sahaba radiallahu anhum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us strong. And I hope and I pray tonight's capacity of our own brains and digestive system is quite big. The statement I have made is 15 kilos. If our brain capacity is 10 kilos, it won't fit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretch it a little bit for us tonight. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention, just before He makes mention of the verses of wisdom, and I'm not going to go into all of them because I have in the past. But Allah says, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةَ عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ جَهَنَّمُ. Whoever is seeking this dunya solely, and they are not interested in the laws and commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will give them this dunya. It's not like we will prohibit them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will give them whatever they are seeking in this dunya. It is not a sign of happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a worshipper if that worshipper has everything. That's not a sign that Allah is happy with us. Sometimes Allah gives us because He is angry with us. It is a punishment. Sometimes He gives us because He wants to test us. And He gives us so much so that in the Akhirah we would have nothing because of our wickedness in this dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who can humble ourselves to His command and who can fall within His command at all times. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next verse says,
وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا.
Whoever wants the Akhirah, whoever wants Jannah and works towards it, we will definitely not let their effort go unthanked. And we will definitely not let their effort go wasted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding that in order to achieve Jannah, we need to work towards it. It will not just come to us without working. We know in this dunya, if we have a house that we would like to buy, we need to earn, we need to save up, and we need to go in and we need to seek permissible terms in order to buy the house. And we are so happy when we own our own house, especially when it is so comfortable and it has a large kitchen which is up to date. Why do I have to mention a kitchen? Because a lot of the times the sisters feel left out. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also grant us menfolk the understanding that normally women, when you have a beautiful kitchen that is up to date, you can find them cooking even 6 times a day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. So that is why we've got to mention the kitchen. The feeling you have when you own it is so grand. What about our house in the Akhirah? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that house in the Akhirah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us work towards it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
كُلًّا نُمِدُّ هَؤُلَاءِ وَهَؤُلَاءِ مِنْ عَطَاءِ رَبِّكَ وَمَا كَانَ عَطَاءُ رَبِّكَ مَحْظُورًا.
We grant from our virtue both those who are working solely for the dunya and those who are working for the akhirah as well. Which means that it is not a condition that Allah has only given those whom He is happy with. What did I say moments ago? Didn't I say just that? That if a person has been given everything, wealth and mashallah, a good house, a happy life, that doesn't mean Allah is happy with them. And the same would apply, or should I say the opposite is also correct. Which means if Allah has not given a person lots of wealth and lots of material items and so on, that does not mean Allah is angry with them. Take a look at Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What did he have? What ownership did he have? Which large pieces of land did he own? And what property did he have? What big buildings and mode of transport did he use? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Yet, he was the most beloved. He suffered the most and the biggest problems. We can't even imagine what he's been through as a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet he used to smile knowing that Allah is on my side. I am the most beloved. He knew it. With us, a small thing happens, a person puts a gun at our heads and we begin to feel that Allah has cursed us. Nay, become happy with the taqdeer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that understanding. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to mention, and I'm going to say 2 verses from amongst the verses of the hikmah and the wisdom that is mentioned in this surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ وَالْمِسْكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا.
The verse is so powerful. Allah says, give the poor, give your relatives who are poor, and give the wayfarer, and give those who are deserving, those who are needy, and do not be wasteful, for Allah does not like those who waste. Definitely they are the brethren of Satan himself. Why does Allah speak about giving your family members, spending on them, and then He says, don't waste? The reason is today, a lot of us, unfortunately, would only work out our zakat and give it out. And when it comes to the extra ibadat, the extra amounts of sadaqat, we become, unfortunately, at times, And possibly not everybody, but at times shaitan attacks us to the degree that we become stingy. We tend to hold on. We want to buy this and that and that and a big building and another big building and 10 big buildings and 20 big buildings and move out, and we don't realize there are members of our own extended family who cannot even afford their basics. And most probably, I'm not saying it is the case, but in today's world, more than half the time it is the case that immediately upon death of those who are mega wealthy, there is a huge split amongst the children of that particular person because they are fighting for the wealth. Rather than that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, instead of brewing a huge problem, spend that wealth during your lifetime. Invest it for your house in the akhirah by looking to your own relatives. Your relatives who are needy, help them, give them. They are more deserving than anyone else. Then look around you. In the masjid you read your salah, look at the poor, spoil them a little bit, give them some money, spend on them, not necessarily only zakah, but even lillah, and even other amounts, give them. And every time you give, tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, that's a payment towards my house in the akhirah. And every time you give, say, Ya Allah, I've given this poor person in this direction, Ya Allah. I have so much in this dunya, Ya Allah. I have no guarantee that I have even half the amount of buildings that I have in the dunya in the akhirah. So Ya Allah, grant me the loftiest ranks in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us, and may He use our wealth to serve this deen. That is why Allah says, don't be wasteful, which means think before you spend. Sometimes we spend on unnecessary items. It may not be haram, but totally unnecessary. There was no need for it. At times, if a person, for example, happens to buy something that he or she knows he can afford and is permissible, but they've also got to consider, what will the others in my locality think about me? Sometimes they might stop talking to me. Not because I've done something haram, but because they might think that I am arrogant and I am proud and I am boasting and so on. Yet it won't be the case. So rather, stay away from that which is permissible, fearing that which is haram. You are protecting your brethren around you. I'm not saying now live in a hut and live under a tree and wave at the people to say, I've got a lot of money, but I'm worried about what you're going to say. No, that's also incorrect. But what we need to do is strike the balance and give others. Give others. If you have something, mashallah, and you've given your neighbors at least a little bit, they will make dua for you rather than become jealous of you. I normally use the example of a braai, which is very common on a Saturday evening in Ramadan, I was told, in South Africa, where you have people who've braaied the most, you know, delicious of meats and chickens which have been marinated more than 24 hours prior to that, and I'm sure we know what I'm speaking about here. Then you have the beautiful scent going to the neighbors who have not seen meat for the last week. What do you want them to do? And they are cursing everyone next door. Then if your stomach does not pain, whose fault is it? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So Allah says through the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you have prepared a beautiful dish, add a little bit more, give your neighbors. There is a reason for that, so that they can make dua for you, they can be happy, they can share the goodness, even if they are not Muslims. Share with them, give them something, smile at them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really use us to spread Islam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is the second point from amongst the verses of wisdom,
وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا.
Do not walk on earth with pride and arrogance. And I'm sure we can understand it. A person who walks looking at others, despising them, he might trip with the next stone. Then the same people he laughed at might rush to help him. Is he going to say no? He won't be able to do that. He will look and feel like a fool because he did not know that Allah had planned something else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So, remember, annasu sawasiya ka asnanil misht. People are equal like the teeth of a comb. We should realize, no matter what we have, what Allah has given us, we are all equal. Let us not be proud and arrogant when we walk, we ignore people. Imagine there is a verse in tonight's recitation where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering the Prophet of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaking about the poor. Allah says,
وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ.
Do not let your eyes ignore them. No, don't. Let your eyes meet them, greet them, shake their hands, look at them, smile at them, and then you walk away. Subhanallah. Allah is telling the messenger regarding the poor. How many of us, when someone is dressed in tatty clothes, even if we know them and even if we can see them, we intentionally look to the opposite direction and we walk away as though we have not noticed anything. Just out of pride, let us change that in the month of Ramadan with the idea that even after Ramadan, greet them, shake their hands, smile at them, look at them. This verse, وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ, which means do not let your eyes ignore them. Let your eyes not miss them. This verse also teaches us the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ when greeting someone, shake properly with a firm handshake. That is the sunnah. Look in their eyes and smile. Look in their eyes and smile. Today we have a habit, unfortunately again, shaitan wants to spoil that sunnah. So what happens? We do not look at each other in the eye. Even if we're greeting, we just greet, we're looking in the other direction, we don't even know whether a person has said wa salam or wa alaykum as-salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. We need to change this. It is an act of worship. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Act of worship. These words will go down, written in the book and presented on the day of Qiyamah, multiplied by more than 70 if they were said in the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who can not be stingy when it comes to uttering the words of salam. And may Allah make us from amongst those who can respond, smile, look at each other, grip a solid handshake so that we can actually feel the bond of Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter makes mention also of the fact that all the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala engage in His praise and they all worship Him, but we, due to our little minds, do not understand and comprehend at times. If you go to the ocean, and mashallah, here in Durban, very close at hand, we are on the beach, alhamdulillah. We go there early morning sometimes and we hear the waves. We think it's just water. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تُسَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ وَإِنْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. Indeed, everything that is in the skies and on earth sing the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, the next verse Allah says, every single creature of ours praises us and worships us, but they, mankind, do not comprehend that worship. When we hear the wind, subhanallah, the wind is engaged in the dhikr of Allah, in remembering Allah. The wind, that sound is actually the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To us, it's just a sound. And the trees and so on, the list is endless. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us not from amongst those who are left out. Imagine human beings who have the most sophisticated brains are the only ones who choose not to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when all the other creatures of Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal are praising Him day and night, and we can hear that, but we fail to understand, we fail to realize, and more than all that, we fail to praise Him even if we are reminded. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us really and truly the tasbihat that we are meant to be reciting with total concentration, knowing the meaning, and may He grant us the full reward of that and the spiritual upliftment that we are meant to be gaining when we utter these tasbihat. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to shaitan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells shaitan that you can go out and befool whomsoever you wish from amongst these people with your sound.
وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُ بِصَوْتِكَ.
Go out and befool. Allah is telling shaitan, after shaitan told Allah that I'm going to go and I'm going to entrap a lot of these human beings and I'm going to show you that they are not good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, go out, I will grant you respite, and go and entrap them, go and befool them with your sound firstly. What is the sound of shaitan? What can it be? What can it be? What is the sound of shaitan? The first thing that the sound of shaitan can be is music, according to the understanding of the vast majority of the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, we must realize that if the sound of shaitan is haram, what is it? Sit and think. Write a list of five things you think is the sound of shaitan. Definitely one of them has to be music. And for this reason, I call once again on the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not justify the listening of music. Do not justify it. It is not permissible. And the clarity of that prohibition is as clear as the sun in midday. And if we refuse to see the sun in midday, then we are blind. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us not from amongst those who deny just because we are involved. There is no point in doing that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells shaitan, go out and befool them. Let us not be fooled by shaitan. And Allah says, and then you can use your army to befool them. And you can continue, you can have a share in their wealth. What does that mean? Part of their wealth may not be halal. So that means the haram portion. Whose share is that? Not shaitan's? Sometimes we have a huge business. 50% shares belong to Iblis. Because we are engaged in interest. And then Iblis helps us to continue. And it booms, not realizing that really it is contaminated. May Allah save us. This is what Allah speaks about in this verse. Allah says that go and become a partner with them in their wealth. But those who are sincere, you will never be able to lead them astray. Why? Because they don't question. When the command comes from their creator, they take heed immediately. And they leave everything that is prohibited in order to please their creator. Allah says, Inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan. My worshippers, you will never be able to have authority over them, O shaitan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, not only do I want you to go out and to see how many of them would invite you as a partner in their wealth, but even as a partner in their children. May Allah save us. What is a partner in children? Some people give birth. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks of it. They've given birth to children who do not belong to their husbands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us firstly from that. And may Allah safeguard us from accusing people. Because the accusation is worse than the crime itself. Remember that. Never ever go up to people and contaminate their thinking. That little child does not look like anyone in your family. So what? That doesn't mean anything. But the person themselves would know what happened. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Really and truly, as I said, the sword is double-edged. Because on one hand we've got people who are accusing those who are innocent. And on the other hand we've got people who are guilty. Some people are bringing up children who don't even belong to them. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلَا يَسْقِيَنَّ مَاءَهُ زَرْعَ غَيْرِهِ Subhanallah. Look at how beautifully he words it. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, never ever use your water to water somebody else's crop. Amazing. Water and crop and farming is used in order to remain with respect and dignity amongst Banu Adam. But the meaning is exactly and directly referring to what I had spoken about moments ago. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention also of, yes, the participation of shaitan when it comes to our children. Not only is it referring to an illegitimate child, but at times we use the word love in order to give our children that which is haram. Give in to them when it comes to something totally prohibited. What type of schools do we send our kids to? Shaitan sometimes has 50% share in our children. Because we decided to forego something regarding religion in order to achieve something for this dunya which that child may never see because the child's death might be written at the age of 14. We don't know. So remember, when it comes to the school that you are sending your child to, think not once, not twice, but 10 times. Make sure that shaitan has not contaminated us in any way whatsoever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not punish us for the wrong decisions we've been making. And may we be from amongst those who truly can stand up and face the facts that we've been making wrong decisions and change our minds. Sometimes shaitan's participation is so grand and so great that it is too late. Or we feel it is too late. Our pride stops us from changing things. Whereas in the month of Ramadan, the month of mercy, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will grant us that mercy. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention after that of a person who refuses to see the light. Do you see, every day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us guidance, He's giving us light, there are commands that are coming in our direction. Allah knows why we are seated here, why we are listening. These words were never meant to miss me, they were never ever meant to miss your ears. If you've heard them, مَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُلْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ. That which got to you was never ever meant to miss you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to question me, He's going to question you. And He asks in the Quran, in fact He informs us,
وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى وَأَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا.
The one who was blind in this dunya, and it is what is meant by the blindness in the dunya is the one who turned a blind eye, the one who did not want to listen to our reminders, and literally or in fact metaphorically was blind, did not want to see the light of this deen. When our commands came to them, they just turned away. Allah says, a person who was blind in that manner in the dunya, they will be resurrected literally blind in the akhirah. And they will say, Ya Allah, how come you are resurrecting me blind? I can't see anything. It's the day of Qiyamah. I cannot see anything at all. And I could see in the dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say,
كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى.
When our signs came to you, when our reminders that were very, very clear came to you, you chose to forget us. So on this day we have forgotten you in the same way you were blind, or you chose to be blind, though we had given you sight in the dunya, we have chosen to make you blind in the akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not do that to us, inshallah. Tomorrow I promise to go into Suratul Kahf, the surah of the cave which we read tonight. And inshallah tomorrow we will expand slightly on the surah and some of the lessons we learned from Suratul Kahf. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen every single one of us. May we be spiritually rejuvenated, inshallah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.